Welcome. You are in the clubhouse with Ron Cyrak, Rex Hoggard, Claude Brousseau, Mike Jones, Eloise Trainer, the founder of the LPGA Developmental Tour, and of course my treasured sponsors, including Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Creative Plumbing. Whether a high-rise, a shopping center, or store, townhouse, custom, or single-family home, call Creative Plumbing. Your plumbing has got to be done right. Call Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Hoyt Bouvet Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Hoyt Bouvet Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Anamoana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Systems that can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company.
It's a gorgeous day to play a round of golf in Hawaii at Poipu. There's a 920 if you're looking and a 1040. Now let's get right into it. Ron Cyrak is senior writer for Golf Digest, author of the trilogy Vision 54 put out, all available at Amazon.com, including Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, and Play Your Best Golf Now. Wouldn't Tiger Woods like to do that? Welcome to the show, Ron Cyrak.
Can I have one of those tea times? Because I have 2 feet of snow on the ground here in Massachusetts.
Well, you were on your way to Ocala, right, for the first event on the LPGA Tour when the blizzard of 2015 hit Massachusetts. Didn't Boston and your area get it worse?
Yeah, the Cape got it the worst. We got up to 3 feet of snow here. I was supposed to leave Tuesday, and I was supposed to leave Wednesday, and I couldn't get out of my driveway till Thursday afternoon.
My goodness.
I'm still here.
And you're still there. Okay, but they've managed to clear the roads. I saw, I think you tweeted a photo of your car. It was pretty much buried.
We not only had 2 feet of snow, but we had 60-mile-an-hour wind. So it sort of pushed it around pretty good.
Wow.
But the good news is we got another one coming on Monday.
Well, when's your next trip? Are you going to an LPGA event soon?
Well, I'm going to the USGA annual meeting in New York City this week. And I always go down and hang out there and do that. So I got to get out of here by the middle of the week, and then I'm not sure what I'll do. I'll probably, you know, the LPGA goes overseas now. I'll probably pick them up at the Founders Cup in Arizona, and then pick up the men on the Florida swing at the Honda and the Bay Hill.
Fantastic! I've been wondering what the PGA of America Task Force has been up to. Now I know they were. Figuring out exactly to whom the PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient ought to be, and that is you. Congratulations, Ron. That's awesome.
Thank you very, very much. To me, the most satisfying thing about it is that that in their release, when they announced the award, they specifically recognized the emphasis I've put on covering women and covering the business side of the game, which were two things when I started writing about golf for the AP many, many years ago. I thought that undercovered were the women, were amateurs, and the business side of golf, and that we put too much attention on only the PGA Tour. At that time, the AP golf writer would go to 43 PGA Tour events a year and didn't do any women's events. And when he retired and I became the golf writer, I said, here's how I want to do it differently. And I was glad the PGA of America specifically acknowledged the work I've done on behalf of women's game.
That's wonderful. Well, let's get right to it. You may not be down in Ocala, but you certainly are following. Lydia Ko could do something that even Tiger Woods didn't accomplish. If she wins today, because this is the final round today with the Super Bowl tomorrow, makes a whole lot of sense to finish it up today, she could be the youngest to ever win and become the number one player in women's golf. That's amazing.
And how about have six career LPGA wins at the age of 17? It's absolutely remarkable. She just keeps getting better and better and better. And I think that not only is her game solid, I think her head's solid. And I don't think she's going to be sidetracked or led astray by any fame or fortune that might come her way. I think her mission is to be the best player out there. And I think, you know, look, going into today, Stacey Lewis is only four back, and she's the current number one. And, you know, we're going to have, I think we're going to see a great little battle between those two players to be the best in the world.
That's coming up today. You've got to get to Golf Channel and figure out what time it is. DVR, it's going to be a great event. We've got Lydia Ko at the top, but only one back is Hana Jiang, is that? And Na Yang Choi is that at 12 under, and Stacey Lewis at 10 under. Austin Ernst at 9 under with Amy Yang as well. It's a great leaderboard. Let me ask you something, though. What surprised me was one more time Suzanne Paterson missed the cut.
You know, we've talked about her before, and you know this. I've told you this before.
Right.
I felt for more than a decade that she should be the best player in women's golf. She has just an enormous amount of talent. Yeah, she's had some physical injuries. But boy, a lot of it seems to me to be mental stuff. You know, she's an obsessive tinkerer, and you know, and in some ways that might be her downfall. She's got so much natural talent. You think maybe she's got a little bit of Tiger syndrome, where she's worked too much on the mechanical side of the game and not let herself just be a natural field player.
Yeah, and she really is hard on herself when we watch interviews afterwards, right?
Oh, she's hard on herself on the golf course. You know, she's nobody says more expletive deleted to herself on the golf course this side of Tiger Woods than she does.
Okay. But she's not mic'd, and everybody's not following her the way he is. That's one thing about Tiger Woods. Okay, you bring up the name twice now, and I have to say, I was enthralled by his pre-tournament demeanor. His smile was just amazing. He could have sold anything.
It's a new tactic for him, you know, and you know, in some ways, you know, I don't know if he was trying to deflate the pressure around him coming back by being more charming and at ease that way. I don't know if it was a false bravado, you know, that he may have had doubts about his game, but he was trying to deflect it away. You know, even after he missed the cut, when he started his interview with the Marshawn Lynch line, "I'm only doing this to keep from getting fined," showed tremendous good humor. I'm a little surprised that he decided to go back to Florida now instead of going just straight ahead to Torrey Pines and practice over there before his next tournament.
I think, you know, when you have something like that happen to you, shooting an 82 in front of a very, very, very large crowd of people, you just want to go home. Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, get it this together.
This is whole new territory for him. And, I mean, it's been interesting because, you know, one of the fascinating stats in the Tiger career is the 14 major championships that he's won, he's never won coming from behind on Sunday. And I've never known what to make of that. But he's one of the greatest front runners of all time. And I think part of what we maybe have been finding out over this last now 5, 6, 7 years is he doesn't struggle really well, because struggling is a whole new phenomenon to him. He's been the dominant player almost the time he was 2.5 years old. You know, I mean, he won 3 straight junior championships, 3 straight U.S. amateur championships, wins the Masters in the first time he plays it as a professional by 12 strokes. He's just always been the top dog. And I think that it's really hard for him to wrap his mind around the fact that he's not the top dog out there anymore.
Yeah, where do you go when you've always had it naturally? It's just been there. You don't know, there's no place to go to pull yourself back and put yourself back together, put yourself back into the hunt and charge. And I was thinking about the coaching changes that he's been going through and the criticism he's taken for changing coaches and changing his swing. I didn't always understand it, except that it would be easier on his body than that twist that he had at such a young age, that everyone said then that that would do damage to his spine. But it seems like he's looking for his dad. He and his father had such a relationship. I don't think he's been able to find another person to fill that void.
His dad was particularly important on his short game. And, they used to do things when Tiger was a kid and they'd play and Tiger hit a shot up around by the green and Tiger's dad, Earl, would walk up, pick the ball up and like throw it in the trees or throw it behind a bunker and say, okay, now get up and down from there. And they always worked in that short game. And to me, that's the most mystifying thing about Tiger right now is what was the greatest short game I'd seen this side of Seve Ballesteros is now almost painful to watch. His chipping and putting is just not anywhere near what we're used to seeing from him.
Oh no! Yeah, painful. I couldn't help. Sure, off the tee, he can still hit it farther than almost anyone. I then think he's proved that he's got length back. He kept talking about, I'm really amazed at how long I can hit it now. Yeah, you can hit it long, but the short game looked like a recreational player who.
Yes. A friend of mine said, and a guy that I've known since fourth grade when we first started playing golf together, he sent me an email and he said, I think I figured it out. Tiger's problem is he has the soul of Arnold Palmer, but he wants to play with the head of Jack Nicklaus. And I started thinking about that, and I think what my friend was saying is that Tiger is by nature a field player, and he's tried too hard over the years to become overly technical. And if you look at it, except for that 2008 season, which was a little bit aside, he's never hit the ball particularly straight off the tee. His most memorable shots have always been recovery shots, and the short game has been the great eraser for him. It's the thing that eliminated all the mistakes that he always made. Now that short game's not there to eliminate those mistakes. I would like to think, and I'm hoping that he's doing this, it seems that way, for him to go back more to his kid swing, and play free and easy as a field player. The other thing that he needs to consider is, he's 39 years old with a damaged body. A lot of operations have gone there. Maybe he needs to come up with an old man swing, a swing that's less stressful on his body and puts the ball in play so that he doesn't have to hit these miracle recovery shots.
Yeah, some people said his competitors at the time would say things like, well, I'm glad Tiger is going with the driver because he can't hit. Who knows where he'll end up, and who knows whether he can recover from it. But he always did, like you said. His recovery shots were the amazing shots that everyone remembers. Do you remember when he did this? That was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
When he made that phenomenal chip in that at the Masters on number 16 that year. When it was going to be impossible to make an up and down, and he said he chips it in. I texted my boss and I said, we need to do a list of the top 10 recovery shots, the top 10 most memorable shots Tiger Woods has ever hit. And my boss says, yeah, great, come up with a list. And I came up with 16 shots off the top of my head, and they were all recovery shots.
And
all 6-iron out of the bunker over water, 4-iron out of the bunker. I mean, all recovery shots.
You got to know, people, that Ron Cyrak was there. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, the senior writer for Golf Digest, and he was watching. He was there inside the ropes watching Tiger Woods do that. Why do you think, other than the fact that he has won over 80 events and 14 majors, why are we so obsessed with Tiger Woods getting back into form and competing? We've got Rory McIlroy doing phenomenal work with his clubs.
I think a couple of things about that. And one is that, Tiger is clearly on a very, very short list with Bob Jones, Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus is the greatest ever to play the game. And in another way, he's 39 years old now. When I first met him, he was 17 years old. Tiger aging reminds us all of our own mortality. It's time passing. And, time is undefeated, untied, and unscored upon against all athletes, and that's sort of a tough thing for us to watch. We'd all love to see him have a year like he had in 2000 again. And that's not going to happen because no 39-year-old athlete is the same person they were when they were 24. I think an interesting thing that's going on right now is you almost need the king to fall before the new king can be crowned. And, you know, Byron Nelson sort of came after. There was some overlap, you know, with from Nelson to Hogan, Hogan to Palmer, Palmer to Nicklaus. And there was even overlap from Nicklaus to Woods in the sense that Tiger's been chasing Jack's record of 18. And so I think what we might be seeing right now, and will it be Rory? I you know, maybe he'll be the next king. I know this. In 1986, when Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at the age of 46, people were saying, there's never going to be another Jack Nicklaus. There's never going to be another golfer as dominating as Nicklaus. There's too much talent out there. 10 years later, we had Tiger Woods. Somebody always comes along. Always comes along. There'll be another transcendent player someday. Maybe it's Rory. Maybe it's Jordan Spieth. Maybe it's Hideki Matsuyama. Maybe it's somebody who's not even on our radar screen right now. But there will be another transcendent player.
Well, we certainly are seeing them come up the leaderboard. I mean, Justin Thomas this year alone, right?
One of the battles going on at Waste Management this week is who's going to be the low 21-year-old? Daniel Berger, Justin Thomas, or Jordan Spieth? We've got three guys who were born in 1993 on that leaderboard. 1993 is the year Tiger Woods won his third U.S. Junior Amateur Tournament, you know? So these guys, I mean, they were just born, and Tiger was already a name in the game. And to have three 21-year-olds, and when you hear them talk, they got two things going for them. And I've said this to you before, too. One of Tiger's legacies is he's attracted a better quality of athlete to the game than used to be there. These guys are all really, really good athletes. College golf is so much deeper than it's ever been before that they're really battle tough. These kids have been going against each other. I heard Thomas or Berger, I'm not sure which one it was, being interviewed yesterday, and he said he was inspired by Jordan Spieth's success. So these 21-year-olds are inspiring each other. Mm-hmm. And here's the most important thing is none of them have firsthand ever experienced the real Tiger Woods. They're not afraid of him.
Rory McIlroy fears in me is, you know, okay, so he's leading. He's been second, I don't know how many times already this season on the European Tour. Will he hold on to the lead? That is still a doubt in my mind whether or not he'll close it.
What's fascinating about Rory is he does not have anywhere near the consistency that Tiger Woods had when Tiger was the real Tiger. You know, when he was the full number one best player in the world.
Right.
Tiger was in contention every time he teed the golf ball up. He was always in contention. Never missed a cut. Never mailed in a round. Never had it. He made his bad rounds. He turned 76s into 71 all the time. And Rory doesn't have that sort of consistency. And somebody smarter than me that I was talking to about this pointed out, he said, you know, when players have hot streaks, cold streaks, eventually the cold streaks get longer than the hot streaks. So it'll be interesting to see, and I think this is a crucial year for Rory. The last two times he won majors, he took steps backward the next year. Well, he won two majors last year. Let's see if he takes a step backward or a step forward this year.
That'll be interesting to watch, and of course we are all watching. I still can't understand why these really great players that we have on all the tours don't attract the same attention visually as Tiger Woods does or did when he was at the top of his form. He absolutely took your eye and spellbound it, and you just couldn't watch anything else. And I don't...
You know, if you were a promotional person or if you were writing a novel or a movie, you could not have made up Tiger Woods. He was a multiracial person in an overwhelmingly white sport. He was young and athletic in a sport known more for middle-aged, out-of-shape guys. He played with a dynamic style. He showed passion on the golf course. Even his name, Tiger Woods, you couldn't make it up. And it just, he was a perfect storm of all the components needed to be a transcendent player. And the most important component of all that is he was better than advertised. he exceeded the hype.
Ron Syrak, senior writer for Golf Digest. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out. As you say, every year something interesting comes out of the USGA General Meeting in New York City this year. So I'll be following you on Twitter at Ron Syrak. Thanks so much for being on the show.
I'll give you a little pimp. I think one of the things you're going to see is a senior U.S. women's open.
Ah, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the talk of the town because, you know, we really got hit. It was like a big black eye when Robert Allenby said he'd been kidnapped, thrown in a trunk. And then it turns out that that was what he was told had happened to him, and he doesn't really remember what happened to him at all. Between, and I find it interesting that he knows the times, 11:06 to 1:27. We'll be back with Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why the Acura MDX is designed just for you. With features like Juuli LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available Acura Link Surface Street Traffic Information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. The Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property, guard, and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel senior writer, a tour reporter, analyst, and sometimes co-host of Morning Drive, a former Marine. Welcome to the show, Rex.
Thank you for having me on. I'm sure this got brought up in the Ron Syrak interview, but congratulations to him. He was just named the PGA of America's Lifetime Achievement Award in journalism.
Isn't that awesome? Yes, we did. We did talk about that, and he was particularly thrilled that they acknowledged that his writing elevated women's golf and the business of golf, which hadn't been really talked much about until he took over as the AP golf writer. He said, this is what I want to do to change the way golf is reported here at AP. But Rex, I have the first question I got to ask you. Are you Robert Allenby's only friend in the media?
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, that was the strangest thing when he says, what did you learn in all of this, Mr. Allenby? He was asked, and Mr. Allenby replied, I've learned that I have no friends in the media, except for maybe one.
I don't know who the one guy is. You know what? And my colleague, Jason Sobel at GolfChannel.com, wrote a really good column out of that, I thought, that
I mean, as journalists, it's not our job to be friends with players. It's, or of course, our job is to build relationships. But it's always a fine line when you spend a lot of time with these players. But situations are going to come up, like this particular situation. And I mean, I think going to Hawaii, looking into Robert's story, I would think he would want anybody to fill in the blanks and to tell him what happened over that 2.5 hours. I don't think it would really matter if it was the police or a reporter or who that might be.
Well, I thought you were so gracious, because when we talked off the air, and exchanged information, you were very careful not to talk about it when I listened to your reports on Golf Channel about, you know, what you didn't know. You may have been told something that you followed down everything, all of your leads, and then you were very careful to just say, well, this is what I was told, but, you know. So you were a great friend to him into my way of thinking.
And I think, I mean, it was always going to be a delicate story. And, I mean, I was sent there just to sort of connect the dots and try to fill in that blank space that you pointed out, that 2.5 hours, and that he doesn't remember. And again, had it not been such a high-profile golfer, had it not been such a violent nature of the attacks, a kidnapping, a beating, a robbery, a being thrown from the trunk, I mean, I don't know that the Golf Channel would have sent me all the way to Hawaii, but all of this sort of coalesced, and it was important. It still is important to make sure that we distinguish between what is fact and what is fiction, and we continue to do that, but I think we're a little closer to the answer now.
I think that's okay. So let's go back to, it wasn't the day that he first came with these scrapes on his face to the media to tell his story. This is what he said to ABC, because he was on every channel. This was covered globally on across networks, on the mainland, and of course here, every time anything new came up, Robert Allenby's story was close to the top of the cast on the different newscasts. So this is what he said after a couple of days into it.
I got hit, knocked out cold, and then I believe that, from what I've been told, that I was thrown in the trunk of a car and then dumped about 6 to 7 miles away from where I was.
Okay. Right there, he says, what I've been told. Initially, didn't he tell Steve Sands that that's what happened? Now he's saying, I've been told this is what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think he adjusted his story as it went along, and he has since been pretty consistent, though, by saying that, look, the things that he told the police, the things he told Steve Sands, the things he said in multiple interviews were told to him specifically by one person. And, of course, that witness is Sheree Keene, who is a homeless woman who lives in the area, who found him and helped him get into a taxi cab. There are a few points of distinction that, I mean, I went back and tracked down Sheree just to make sure that I understood. And I asked her point blank, did you ever see him get thrown out of a trunk? And did you tell him he was thrown out of a trunk? And she said no to both. So I'm not quite sure where that came from. Again, you have to take all this as an eyewitness account.
Yes, but you also have to take the eyewitness account of the person who's saying it. You know, she doesn't necessarily tell the truth.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's why a lot of things I did with this story, I thought it was important to make sure you had 2, 3, 4 witnesses, as many as you could get. And for a lot of the things, I was able to do that. I know what time he left the bar. I know what time he was first found on the street. I know what time he went to the club right down the street, Club Femme, New. And I know what time he was found again on the street, about 1:27. The rest of it, yeah, there's still certainly some blank spots in this story.
Before we go to Femme Nu, not literally, the military man, because Robert Allenby had been robbed. He had no money, but he had a credit card in his pocket. Sheree says in her statement to the media that there was a military man who was the other angel in Robert Allenby's life, who got him into the cab and sent him off to the Kahala. Has this military man been found? Has he
come? No. No. And, I mean, it's interesting that he hasn't. I wasn't given access to the police reports, which I'd assume would be the only way, unless this man steps forward, and he has it up to this point. I can't imagine why he would at this point. I don't even think the police know who he is at this point, Danielle.
Yeah, because he had no money. How could he pay the cab? Now, who's the taxi cab driver? Hello, cab driver. You know, come out and tell us what was the situation that you found? There's so many. It's like every mystery. The one thing that's I've heard in mystery writers say that, you know, every witness has something to hide. So most witnesses at that time of night may not want to come forward and explain. And that's one of the reasons when we go to FAMNU, I heard that he went to Roxaw, he had to leave Roxaw because he was being handsy with the girls, and that he was bounced out of there. But that hasn't been confirmed by anyone. But then again, who would confirm that? It's the clientele in those places. They don't, it's the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas sort of mentality. We don't talk about who comes here because they don't want people to know they're here. But you go to FAMNU, and what did you discover?
Well, first, it's interesting. I went to Roxaw first and asked a few employees and showed them Robert's picture and asked if he was there, and no one recognized him. I wasn't surprised by that for all the reasons you just pointed out. I mean, they do try to keep confidentiality. I mean, that's how they keep their doors open, I would assume. And the next stop I made is basically right across the street at FAMNU, and I found two employees. One of them identified himself as a manager, who said that he was in there about midnight with a couple of friends. We're still not sure who they are. Presumably, they're the three people he left the Amuse Wine Bar with around midnight. And according to the manager, he spent about $3,400.
And that's not hard to do. People say, how did you run up a $3,400 tab? Well, he went to the champagne room. In the champagne room, I think you get a bottle of champagne that is equal to about one glass of champagne. And that'll cost you anywhere between $100 and $300, depending on, how easy a mark they think you are, or how infrequently you frequent the establishment. It's a very interesting club life that happens in these nightclubs.
I wouldn't think it would be hard to run up $3,400, especially if you spend an hour and a half, which is kind of the window of the time frame that we're looking at now, between the time that he left Amuse and was spotted on the curb, and then the time he spotted again, basically across the street in the same spot from Amuse, about 127.
All right, and now have you been able to find out about that credit card that he had left in his... There's a couple of questions I have, and maybe you can help me understand. He had one credit card that he was still using, and didn't he lose his cell phone, or did he still have his phone?
I think at this point, according to the two witnesses who initially found him about 1:30, keep in mind we have him on video leaving the Amuse Wine Bar at 11:07, so we know that's what time he left, and he left with three unidentified people. According to the two witnesses who I found in Ala Moana Park throughout the week, they found him right around between 11:25 and 11:30. At that point, the witnesses say that Robert was pretty much incoherent, that he was laying on the street corner, although he did not appear injured at that time. And they said at that time he was talking about being robbed and that he did not have either his wallet or his phone. Robert has since told me that he also had $800 in cash with him that was also stolen. And the reason that he still had the American Express card, according to the story that he gave me, which adds up, is that he paid the bill at Amuse with the American Express card and then just kind of slipped that into another pocket with the bill from Amuse. And then by the time he walks out, he doesn't have time to put it back in the money clip, which is what the robbers ended up taking.
Yeah, all right. Well, and then, of course, we find out that some people say it's up to $35,000. Others say more conservatively, more $20,000 were charged on those accounts. Have you heard anything more on that line?
Robert told me last Friday, so a week ago this Friday, when I was still in Hawaii, that they had ran up close to $25,000 in fraudulent charges at that point. I would think at some point the cards would get shut down. I'm still not 100% clear. Because from what he told me, he closed all of his cards the next morning. You know, when he called the police responded to his hotel about 2 a.m., and he said just shortly after that he had canceled the card. So I'm not even quite sure. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I don't pretend to know how, but I'm sure at some point, though, the cards have to be closed off the charges, I would think.
Okay, so this two-plus-hour window that we're looking at where he has no recollection, you said that he did tell you he feared for his life and he remembers being struck in the face.
He does, although, you know, he has stayed with the same story, and that was the statement he made on Tuesday in Arizona when he spoke with the media. That 2.5 hours is still a blank to him. That he told me last Friday that he vividly remembers being punched in the face twice, and this is as he was leaving Amuse, the wine bar, and then he remembers screaming for his life. Other than that, he's been pretty consistent about saying the rest of it's a blur.
Right, and he felt like he'd been drugged, and he took a drug test. Have you heard anything about the results of that test?
Have not. They were supposed to come back this week. When I talked with them last Friday, because both he and his caddy, I spoke with his caddy just days after the incident, and he pointed out that he had 3 glasses of wine throughout what was basically a 2-hour dinner at Amuse, and that he felt like Robert was fine when he left them. When they went back to review the tape, it wasn't until these 3 unidentified people approach him. They have a short conversation. Robert pays the bill, goes into the bathroom at Amuse and comes out, and according to his caddy, that's when he starts looking impaired. He's kind of stumbling a little bit. So, and I think both of them have come out and basically alluded to the fact that they feel like that he was drugged. And Robert did tell me that he has taken a drug test and that the results were supposed to be back this week.
So where do you go from here?
Well, I think at this point, there's still some leads I think that need to be followed up. You pointed out the military man. I believe we're still trying to find out who that was. And you're right. Maybe at 1:30 in the morning, that person doesn't want to be identified. And again, I don't even think the police know who he is. The 3 people he left the bar with, I left Amuse Wine Bar. I'm pretty sure the police know who they are. They had been in the bar, from what I was told, they were attending a birthday party in the bar that night. And so the indications that there hasn't been an arrest yet would lead me to believe that they're not the 3 people they're looking at. And I would agree with Robert. I mean, he stressed on Tuesday during his press conference that he is the victim. And there's no doubt there was a crime. There was a robbery. The police are investigating a second-degree robbery, $25,000 in debt. It's the rest of the story that I would think Robert, of all people, would want to know what happened.
Well, you know, we want to know that everyone around the world, because when I was on Michigan State Radio with Michael Patrick Shields, his intro to me was, wow, you know, paradise lost. These things happen now in Hawaii. People get kidnapped. They get thrown in wait a minute. These things don't happen in Hawaii. I mean, you have to be seeking an underbelly of society that exists everywhere. And from all accounts, he was seeking that, that underbelly, the places where you wouldn't tell your wife, your kids, or anybody else that you're hanging out at or doing things with.
And I think it's like any other big city. I don't think we should fool ourselves. However, and I don't think I realize how big of a deal this would be to you and the other people who live in Honolulu. And it makes sense to me now that, of course, this was a cause celeb. I mean, if the world's going to look at Honolulu as suddenly a violent place, that's not the image you want to portray, particularly if it's not true. And I can say I had more than a few bosses and my wife, and a lot of people asked me, you know, are you being careful? And I was walking the same streets. I was talking with the same people at about the same time of night trying to track down the story. I never felt threatened. I never felt like I was in danger. So I think you're right. I think just the idea that this could have gotten out and people could start looking at Honolulu in a different light, that's the sad part of the story to me.
Yes, that is the sad part. And I think that's why, you know, it's a lot of people say to me, why doesn't he just man up? Mike Buck said it. I was talking to him Thursday morning on his fishing show. Why doesn't he just man up and say what happened, say what he was doing, just come out with it? And it would sure be nice to fill in those times. I think his credit card that he slipped into his pocket can tell us a whole lot about what happened between 11:07 and 1:27.
Sure. I mean, if there's other charges on that would lead to a trail. That would certainly fill in a lot of the blanks. And he seems to think that the police, I mean, speaking with him last Friday, and his indications are from Tuesday's press conference, that the police are close to making arrests, and I think that would probably fill in a lot of the gaps. I mean, I just think the basic idea that the police are investigating a second-degree robbery and the fraudulent use of a credit card, not a kidnapping, not an assault, I think that says a lot. And this isn't, I mean, I know Robert was very defensive in his press conference, and I would counter and say that, I think he would want to know what happened. And if he doesn't remember what happened over that 2.5 hours, how can he be so sure that these things did occur?
Exactly. Thank you, Rex. It's such a pleasure talking. Why don't we get together in the very near future and talk something, Tiger Woods. I was going to say something more positive.
Tiger's chipping. Let's talk about Tiger's chipping next time we talk. How about that?
Let's hope it improves when we watch him at Torrey Pines. Are you going?
I am, yeah. I fly out on Tuesday morning.
Excellent. Well, if you have to. Actually, I'll be in recovery on Saturday next. So the following Saturday might be a good time to, we can do an analysis, a follow-up. If you have time, that would be terrific.
Of course. And I'll come on your show anytime.
Thank you, Rex Hoggard. He's senior writer with Golf Channel, and you can see him on Golf Channel often on Morning Drive, DVR it. It's a really great show, or on Golf Central. Thank you so much, Rex Hoggard. We'll talk soon. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. And Eloise Trainer, many, many years ago, realized there were not enough competitive events for women golfers who weren't at the elite level. And she did something about it. We're going to talk with her after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Rafael just came in and said, I've been out in the evening in Honolulu for many, many years, and nothing has ever happened to me. I've never been afraid. I couldn't agree with him more, and I think all of us know that. So if you're coming to Hawaii, fear not. You're going to have a wonderful time, and you'll meet wonderful people. Speaking of wonderful people, I didn't know Eloise Trainer. She's the director of operations at Education Golf, a premier golf education company, LPGA Class A member, a native of New Lebanon, New York, and a graduate of Hudson Valley Community College, a pioneer in the world of women's golf, founder and CEO of the Futures Golf Tour. We now know it as the Symetra Tour. I'd like to welcome to the show Eloise. I think she's calling back in right now because we got disconnected. Eloise, welcome to the show. Do we have her on? Eloise, can you hear me? We seem to be having a difficult connection because I can't hear Eloise Trainer. She is the Director of Operations, Education Golf, a premier golf education company. She retired from the Futures Tour, and then she and Kay McMahon, they co-founded Education. It's like education, only with K in the middle, K-A-Y for Kay McMahon. And it's a golf education company. It's dedicated to the quality education and fun. Fun, golf, having fun. I think maybe Tiger Woods needs to go, although he seems to be having a whole lot of fun now. He's got a whole different demeanor. So I'm hoping that we can get, Eloise, can you hear me now? I feel like I'm on a cell phone. We're having some problems this morning with getting Eloise connected. And I might be getting a message right now. No, not yet. Okay, so maybe we'll just need to take a quick break. Do we need to do that, Ralph? Will you be able to manipulate them? Yes, okay. Otherwise, I would tell you about Bridgestone. Can we do that while you work on it? Okay. Bridgestone Golf. It's interesting. When these professional golfers find a golf ball, that works for them, they are so good that that golf ball is the only golf ball they want to use. It's the only golf ball that they really can excel at in their game. Well, this particular golf ball that Stacy Lewis, okay, number one player in the world, Stacy Lewis, they phased out her golf ball. Can you imagine? And she pleaded with the company, please don't get rid of the golf ball. I love this golf ball, okay? And they did. She sought out and found a golf ball that works for her, and it's a Bridgestone golf ball. And I know that you can't, well, maybe you can. Maybe you're one of the 0.009% of the players in the world that need to use a specific golf ball. But if you're one of the recreational players that want to have a really good feel, you know, you can, it's, you know, how did David Faraday put it? Not exactly sure what soft gradational core means, but for you it means longer distance, okay? That's the fix. Long distance, soft feel. It's the Bridgestone Golf Fix. And we're going to give one away to the ninth caller. Not just one. No, not one. We're going to give a dozen away, okay, to the ninth caller at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. And now, I did this major introduction for you, Eloise. I'm not
sure. No. Hi, Danielle. Thank you.
Hi. You're now working with Kay McMahon at Education, Director of Operations there, and the focus is on having fun, learning the game and having fun. Am I right?
Yes, and we know having fun is getting the ball airborne in the direction you want and the distance you want.
That would be it, wouldn't it?
Right, you know, that's fun.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm just happy with direction.
Okay.
I can work my way to the green, you know. It's as long as I'm going forward and not giving myself too hard of a lie. But what I was fascinated with is when you were, you know, you, from what I understand, you discovered as you got better and better. When did you get into golf?
When I was 12, my parents worked on an estate, and the owner of the estate was an avid golfer, and he converted two horse pastures into a four-hole golf course. So I was mowing greens when I was 12, and so I was introduced to the sport then.
Wow. Okay, so it's in your blood.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, but at one point, you discovered there were no competitive events that you could, you weren't at the elite level, right? You weren't an LPGA star, but you were very, very good. So where did you take your competitive skills at that point? So what did you decide to do?
I moved to Florida and worked on my game for 5-6 years. And when I had turned pro, I was a shop pro. I joined the LPGA teaching division, and then I looked around for any place to play. And there was a group in California, Group 4, but that was in California, and I was in Florida. So I thought I'd start schedule these tournaments for professional golfers that, again, were in my shoes. I didn't have anywhere to play.
So how did you get the word out? What year was this, 1981, 1980?
1979 when I put it together, 1980 when I put the schedule together and got the word out. Interestingly, it was because I was a member of the teaching division. I had a mailing list of my compatriots, so I got the word out there. And golf's it's a small world. When that word got out, it spread quickly.
Absolutely, because you want to compete. It's part
Correct.
Of your nature, right? And not being
Correct.
Able to do that. So now you're doing this mini tour. Like there's so many men mini tours, and
right.
there are some women mini tours. But the one that you want to get from a mini tour to the LPGA. That's where you want. How did you turn it into the LPGA developmental tour that we know today as the Symetra Tour? You were the Futures Tour. How did you do that?
Right. Well, as a mini tour, the players would put up their entry fee. They would play for a portion of that, and a large portion of that, not an insignificant amount. The rest would go for the expenses of playing on the course. And after doing that for 3 years, I needed help, so I took on some people. Always had a rules official from day one, but we decided to guarantee purses, no matter how many players there would be. The purses were guaranteed, and we decided to go nationally. Because the first 3 years was in the Tampa Bay area. That's where I worked. That's where I went, moved to from New York State here. And so we decided to go national. We set up a schedule. We took a line of credit. If you could imagine, a bank would give it to you, us.
That's pretty amazing.
That was amazing. That was amazing. But we did it, and an appreciable line of credit, $100,000, actually.
Wow.
I know. And
did you put up the farm?
Went.
Did you had to put up the farm for that, right?
Believe it or not, no. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. But we did that, and by guaranteeing the purses, the players knew we were here to stay, because back then, there are a lot of mini tours coming and going, and the players would go over to one side of the state and go over to the other side of the state, or they'd split the numbers, and there weren't that many golfers at that time. So when that happened, it was a little draining on us and our line of credit, if you will, because our income came from the numbers of players.
Wow. Grace Park, Marilyn Lavender, Audra Burke, some of the first players to...
Yes, well, Michelle McGann, Laura Davis, played with us when she made her American debut, and she played as brilliantly then as she does now.
Wow.
And then later on, Kari Webb, who was we know is just a brilliant player.
Yes.
And just many, many, many players. Meg Mallon. These are the early players that played with us. So it's fun when I go out to an LPGA event and I can, you know, I don't know them well. It's been years, but I still can say hi to so many players now.
It's wonderful. So,
yes.
And then how did you get the affiliation with the LPGA? How did you get the LPGA to acknowledge your tour as the one that would lead up to the LPGA?
Right. Well, they did need to see that we knew what we were doing. We had qualified rules officials and very capable rules officials. That's a big piece of it, that they know that the tournaments are going to be run very, very well by the book, certainly the rules taken care of. And we did that from day one, but they needed... So they'd send people out and look. And then it came down to the time where we were able to put it to the vote of the players, because it is their tour. And what was helpful was by the time that happened, which was 19 years later since the inception, there are a lot of graduates, if you will, from Tampa Bay Mini Tour, from the Futures Tour at that time. So we had a great vote of confidence from those players that had played with us before they got their LPGA Tour card. So that's what it came down to. They voted us to be their feeder system tour. We did not have, we had their endorsement, but we, at that time we didn't have, what did we have? I think we had three spots for any player or our players to play their way onto the LPGA. So three spots were granted for the top money winners over the course of the season, the future season.
Right.
And they could play their way onto the LPGA, which was something that I longed for. Because the players that played the Futures played long and hard. They traveled just like the LPGA players. They did it on a shoestring budget. They appreciated everything that was done for them. So I was ecstatic when that happened.
And you negotiated everything. You negotiated the was it Duramed that came in?
Duramed was, and then it the Symetra Tour. Then it evolved, my business partner at the time, Zida Calderon, was a mover and a shaker at that time, too. So it was a combination of the longevity, our longevity, the fact that we weren't going anywhere after 20 years. We certainly weren't giving it up. And all of that played into it. But as I say, I think the fact that there were so many graduates that were on the LPGA, they were all for it.
And today there's the Trainer Award, named for Eloise Trainer. I'm speaking with Eloise Trainer right now, and it's given each year since 1999 to an individual or group that's made a significant contribution to women's golf. What do you know? I think a lot of us don't realize you started out of the trunk of your car.
Yes.
Working to create something that now we take for granted. This is the Symmetra Tour. You know, this is the tour that girls, 20 of them, managed to get, after working really hard, go up into the LPGA Tour and see if they can make it on the big stage. Fantastic story, Eloise.
Thank you. It was needed, and again, filling a void is the way to go, if you will. And it's funny, people said, how did you keep going? And one of the reasons was you had to set a schedule up the year. By the end of the season, the schedule for the following year had to be set up. And so the players would know what was when, if they made the LPGA or didn't make the LPGA, they knew what was in store for them the following summer. And so I kept doing these schedules as I kept going, and I'd be a year ahead of myself, and it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to do it again. I wanted to, trust me, but
I'm sure you did.
I did, but it was fun to think, oh my gosh, here we go again.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Eloise Trainer is the Director of Operations at Education Golf, a premier golf education company online. It's at Education, and I'm saying it like that so that you can spell it, EDU, capital KAYTION Golf. And that's online. We could get sign up for lessons, online lessons as well, right?
Absolutely. Kay has, and I know you spoke with her several weeks ago, has created an incredible method of golf instruction that just requires 4.5 things to create a great classic golf swing. It's a phenomenal method of instruction. It's easy to learn. It's easy to repeat, and it's so uncomplicated. And the results are astronomical. If you can say you have 90% success rate as an instructor, you're off the charts, and that's what Kay absolutely has. And in any case, Golf 8.5, we're hoping to introduce it to as many people as we can, because they'd learn golf very, very quickly. They would have success immediately. They'd have a classic golf swing and look like a golfer, and that helps. That it's an exciting time. I'm as excited about Golf 8.5 and bringing it to the people as I was about the Futures Golf Tour, Tampa Bay Mini Tour, and the Futures. I'm as excited, which is fun.
And that says a lot. Eloise Trainer, thanks for being on the show. Sorry for the difficulties getting connected.
Not at all. Thanks, Diane. Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Sure. And we'll talk again, okay?
I'd love to.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We've got Claude Brousseau. He's been standing by very patiently waiting through our technical difficulties. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And congratulations to John Rhodes. He is the winner of our Bridgestone Golf Fix golf balls. And they'll be coming to you, John, in Hilo. We'll be sending them out to you. Bringing on from Maui now, actually from France, but on Maui. He spends half of his year in France and the other half on Maui. I think you've got the perfect life. It's Claude Brousseau, PGA, master professional in teaching and coaching. He's a golf coach, a golf teacher, a professional training and coaching member of PGA of France as well, owner and director of instruction of claudeforbestgolf.com. He's at the Kapalua Golf Academy. And we've got a couple of things coming up this weekend. We talked last time during the Hyundai Tournament of Champions about Vision 54. Claude, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. And Vision 54, you're going to be teaching Vision 54 February, what's the date again?
The dates are the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's a three-day program, and I will be teaching it using, of course, all the information and the good instruction and coaching from my good friend Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott.
Well, you're certified, Vision 54.
That's correct. We call that the Authorized Coach 54.
Authorized Coach. I have to remember all these things.
That's okay.
Authorized Coach 54, and yep. This is at Kapalua.
Yeah, that will be at Kapalua Golf Academy here, and we'll look forward. This is Vision 54, like we talked a little bit about during the tournament. It's a different vision of golf. I mean, if you have been working for many, many years on the technical aspect of your game and you don't get the results you want, maybe you need to explore other things that are involved in the performance of golf. And that's what Vision 54 is about. We are human beings playing golf. We're not robot, and we need to look at, okay, technical is very, very important. We do that implicitly at Vision 54, but maybe you need to look at your decision-making. You need to look at your pass shot reaction. You need to see where we have a concept called think box and play box. So those are very important skills to develop to perform better on the golf course. That's where it's matter and we have fun.
You know, I couldn't help but think when I was watching Tiger Woods over mm-hmm. the last couple of days
that
he was taking his think box to the play box and that he wasn't committing to his shot at all. What was your impression?
But I will agree with you on that. I mean, we know that, I mean, we take Tiger, probably one of the best, if not the best player. He knows how to play the game. I think the problem with him right now is he's playing golf swing. He's not playing golf. And then, of course, if you are not committed and your play box is polluted by a lot of thoughts, you cannot perform. We know that the performance state is sensor in your senses. So at the ball, you want to be there the less amount of time possible, and you want to be an athlete that swing the club, then your intention need to be very clear, and your attention needs to be to your intention. And like you said, I think I've watched Tiger. I think he's getting, it's a classic phrase that we use in golf, but he's getting in his own way because I think the recipe for him will be this. He needs to just access all the good swing that he has in his body, and he has so many of them.
Do you think having so many of them is a problem? I mean, he's tried Butch Harmon, Hank Haney, you know, Sean Foley, now Chris Como. I mean, it's...
No, I don't think this is a problem. I think, you know, people overrate coaches, meaning by that, coaches, we are people that help people to realize their golfing potential. And I think sometime, though, what happened is in the quest or the pursuit of perfection, this is the fine line between wanting to improve that much and it's a game also of good enough and good misses. So sometimes wanting to search for perfection can hurt you, and I think that's what's happening with him. And, of course, if you have too many different models, it's confusing to know which one you will use at the ball.
And he said he's getting used to this new swing plane that he's using. It's not as steep, and it's so he doesn't trust it as much, and he thinks he's making, you know, at the time of swing changes. At the time he's swinging, he's changing his swing.
Yes, exactly.
Yikes. I mean, that's that's a recipe for absolute disaster, which I think we watched. But by the same token, I can't help but think that expecting to see Tiger Woods Superman come out after, you know, this is like the second tournament since the Hero Challenge. And Hero was his own little, you know, oyster. He played terribly his short game, his chipping. What about the, you know, I've mentioned chipping yips after seeing him at Hero. What do you make of his short game?
But I think if you have to have balance when you're training. So I think what may have happened, you know, I didn't talk to Tiger, so I don't know, speculation from my part. But as I'm coaching some players at all different levels and high level, if you neglect to spend some time one aspect of your game, but he will not perform as well. So I think his short game is a matter that he needs to spend more quality time, not necessarily, you know, not talking about Tiger here, but the public general golfer, avid golfer at the same time. I think we need to help people to understand it's not a matter of how much time you spend practicing, but it's more quality time. Reps for reps, that doesn't do any good.
Well, when he said, I've hit, since Hero, you know, they said, have you worked on your short game? Oh, I hit thousands of balls. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it may be, like I said, again, it's not judging Tiger here, but for people in general, it's not the number of balls that you hit that count.
Yes.
It's the quality of the, and then you need to spend some time on what I will call the mechanics aspect of it. But after that, you need to spend, I will say, 20% on mechanics of your swing and 80% of playing golf, because that's what matters. How good it is if you have the best mechanics in the world, but you cannot use it on the golf course.
Right. And someone said that they observed him chipping perfectly. I think Mark Rolfing actually said that. He watched him, and he hit chip after chip after chip on the practice facility perfectly, but he couldn't translate that into what it was like on the golf course. Unfortunately, in his particular profession, the only way to get better on the golf course in competition is to go into competition, even if you're not quite ready for competition. And then you just struggle through it. And he's been there before, as he said, and I think he'll get through it. Stacey Lewis, I'm completely switching gears now, because not only is there Vision 54, you are also Aimpoint.
Yes.
Now, is it called Aimpoint Certified?
Yes. It's called, I'm the only Aimpoint Certified Level 3 instructor in the state of Hawaii. So, yes, we call that Aimpoint Certified Instructor. You know, if you are in a different location than Hawaii and you want to identify one of us, you can go on aimpointgolf.com and you search for an instructor. And we help people to putt better by selecting and using a system that helps you to select a better aiming point on every putt.
Now, so the reason I brought up Stacey Lewis is Stacey was having trouble on the greens, and she had a couple of lessons with Aimpoint, liked it so much, she really took it and made it part of her game.
Yeah.
Now, when I say, you know, you're at Kapalua Golf Academy, but this weekend, aren't you at Ko'olina?
Yeah, next weekend it will be February 7th, and I would like to really say big mahalo to Greg Nichols and Marcus Judge that allowed me to come to their facility and share this great information. So it will be on February 7th at Ko'olina Golf Club. There's few spots available, so you can just get in touch with Coahuila Golf Club, and it's limited to a small group of person. We got three sessions going on, and we will help them. It's fascinating how this Aimpoint Express is will change when we look at that. Let's say 5 or 10 years from now, we'll see this really changed the game of golf, how people reads green. So I can, if you want, give you a little.
Oh, please do.
A little history of how all that started. It's my good friend Mark Sweeney, who is the inventor of this system. In 2003, he was watching the British Open, and he saw three, four players missing maybe a 4-5 footer on the wrong side of the hole. So he says, wow, we need to do something about that. How come even professional at the highest level can be fooled by the green and missing on the wrong side of the hole? So he's a computer guru and whiz, and then he decided to simulate 250,000 balls dropping on a green, and he saw some patterns. So he says, oh, I'm going to do something with that. So that's how it started. Then he was on TV for the first time at Torrey Pine in 2004 with CBS and the PGA Tour. In 2005, the Top 100 Teaching Summit did a little demo in New Orleans. And what really kicked it off is here at Kapalua in 2007, Golf Channel, I mean, most of your listeners will remember that, seeing a line designed on the green to show where the putt should go. So I've been involved with Marks in 2007 on that. And at the beginning, the system was a little bit complicated, I will say. And in last year, that's where they changed a bit the system by going what we call express read. Why express? Because when you use this system, you can read any green in the world in about 15 seconds. So you can see, Daniel, the interest of doing that. Not only you will speed the time to play for the players, and you will also be more efficient about it.
Yes, and I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of people remember Aimpoint as being very mathematical.
Yeah.
And Stacey Lewis happens to have a very mathematical mind.
Yeah.
There are those of us, I include myself when I say us liberally, I am not a mathematical mind. I'm a feel person. Now I think it's more like imagine the water flowing on the
Correct.
Green, right?
Correct.
Something.
Correct.
So when you do this at Coahuila on February 7th, you'll be able to give people the more the feel rather
Correct.
Than the okay.
Correct.
Yes.
You're right. So here's the beauty. The validity and the efficiency of the system is based on something, you know, really real and it exists. Now the express read is so fantastic, we can teach it for kids. So you can, because if kids of 7, 8, or 9 years old can learn it,
yeah.
I think any adult can learn it. And I will share an interesting story. I was at the Aimpoint U.S. conference last November in Orlando, and one of my colleagues teach it for two kids. And this, I just love this fact. He said one Saturday, after I had done a few clinics, and then just on their own, he had 42 kids on the putting green. Adults couldn't use it. The member couldn't use it. Isn't it great?
The kids took over.
Yeah.
Okay, this is all going to be February 7th at Coahuila, and we're talking with Claude Brousseau. He's the Authorized Coach 54. That Vision 54 is 3 days. Fabulous.
Correct.
A fabulous opportunity. February 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's at the Kapalua Golf Academy. And this Aimpoint Express Read lesson with this, the only level 3 Aimpoint certified instructor in Hawaii, Claude Brousseau, PGA, master professional in teaching and coaching. He will be teaching. What is it? You've traveled, you've gone abroad, you've come to Oahu from Maui.
And I'm used to travel. I'm originally from Montreal in Canada, but I've been fortunate enough to call Maui home for the last 10 years. And like you said in the introduction, I went and started the first and only 100% short game golf school in France. So I like to share the knowledge and the passion about getting better and having fun with this great game all over the world, basically.
Claude Brousseau, PGA, thanks so much. I'll be sharing this on social media, Facebook and Twitter. Make sure that we fill up all those spots, and maybe we can get together with you sometime in the future. Our EWGA group would love to get a lesson from Claude Brousseau. We'll all come to Kapalua. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back with Mike Jones. He just happens to be the general manager, director of golf at Kapalua, and he's just back from, you know, the center of the golf world, the center of sports world. It's where the Super Bowl is going to be played tomorrow. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poi Poo Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poi Poo Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poi Poo Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poi Poo Bay. That's 742-8711. Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The all-new 2015 Acura TLX with integrated dynamic system was engineered with four distinct drive modes that adapt to your every mood. Switch from fuel-saving econ to normal mode. Its responsive personality means the TLX is as thrilling as you make it. Now switch to sport mode. It offers quick response and more agility. It also enhances the natural sound of the engine. But with the world's first 8-speed dual clutch transmission with torque converter, it will respond instinctively to your will with rapid and smooth shifts. And in sport plus mode, the harder you drive, the more dynamic the TLX feels as it taps its full performance potential. So, come in and test drive the all-new 2015 Acura TLX with Sport Plus mode. It's that kind of thrill.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. I hope I didn't scare somebody over at Kapalua because I left off a word. Mike Jones is the general manager, and he's the director of golf operations at Kapalua Golf, Troon Golf. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Danielle. Good to be here this morning. Like you said, I was in Phoenix and just got back on Thursday.
So. Yeah. Now, tell me, what was the energy like over there? I mean, here's Tiger Woods showing up for the first big event of the 2014-2015 season. And 30 miles down the road, you got the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Everywhere you went in town, you know, you go out to dinner at night, the talk was all golf and football, no doubt about it. You saw a lot of the Seahawks players around town. I stayed close to where the ESPN fan zone was.
Wow.
And so I got to see a lot of those guys. But on the golf side, the talk was about the crowd. They were expecting 200,000 people there today.
200, you know, I mean, okay, Thursday, wasn't that the largest crowd ever?
Yes, with Tiger coming into town, definitely. And I think they said over 600,000 fans for the week there at the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
That's like a U.S. Open crowd.
That's like 10 times what we get in one week.
Well, yes, so we've got all these people in, and most of our, do people travel in? Was there a hotel room to be had?
Well, I had to search quite hard to find one kind of in a decent area, and, you know, obviously taxis and stuff like that were a little harder to get. I tried to get a rental car, and the price was like $1,000 for 4 days.
Wow.
So I ended up doing Uber and just getting rides around town because it was a lot less expensive.
What would we do without today's modern opportunities? Uber, by the way, is a way that you can like borrow a car, and it's a very cool. You look, get it's an app, right?
Yeah, it's a little app, and drivers are around town, and you hit pick me up, and I tell you, I didn't wait more than 3 or 4 minutes, and a driver came, picked me up, took me where I needed to go.
That's awesome. Very, very amazing. So the whole mood, I got to ask you right off, are you either a New England Patriots or Seattle Seahawks fan?
Well, I'm a Chicago Bear fan, born and raised, and I've got season tickets, so I can't talk too much about this football season. I will tell you, though, I played golf Tuesday in Scottsdale with Herm Edwards and with Trey Wingo. They tell me it's going to be a close game, but they're picking the Seahawks.
They're picking the Seahawks. You know, I hear that the Patriots have it by 3. Right now, at one point last week, moving into the weekend, but I have a Seahawk feeling. I don't know why. There's just so much that's happened with the Patriots with Inflategate. It's just kind of a negativity, but maybe they can use that as a positive, like being the underdog and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think Herm was telling me, you know, he thought defense would win the game in the end, and so that's why he was taking the Seahawks.
Ah, okay, good. Okay, well, there's a little tip. Now, you mentioned it when we were talking about, before we talk about Robert Allenby, I had a wonderful opportunity when Troon Golf invited me on a fam tour to Phoenix, and I got to play the North Course. We even went out to Whirlwind, and Kierland.
Kierland, yep. Oh. I played Kierland on Sunday. Awesome golf course right there at the Westin Kierland, and Nancy Dickens, our GM, does there. And I did something that was really unusual for me. I rode the golf surfboard when I played Kierland on Sunday.
Okay. All right. You were on the golf surfboard. Now, how is that like a skateboard? What's it like getting your balance on that?
It's really easy. It's really safe. You know, you stand on the golf surfboard and you got a little throttle that you control with your thumb. And there's no steering, so you just got to lean one way or another to move it, similar to a skateboard, but a larger one, you know, and almost like a surfboard. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. And Nancy and Kierland there do a great job. They've got a great 27 holes there, and they do that with Segways, golf bikes. You can ride a bicycle while you play your round of golf.
I think I'll go with the bike. I'll start off with the bicycle. The Segway was it's a little strange getting yourself accustomed to that, for me at least. But I'd like to try the golf board. Where do the clubs go?
The clubs go in front. There's a little handle that comes up for your control, and the clubs sit in front, and you got a little cup holder there for a drink, and you know, it was kind of fun. It was different, but I think the point is, you know, Troon's got a lot of facilities there in town, and Nancy and Kierland do a great job. Troon North does a great job.
Yes,
there's
they do.
Just tons of good golf courses.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely, and I had a wonderful time. I'd never had a dinner where they five-course dinner and a beer was provided, selected for each course.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
I did not know about that.
Yes. That was when beer was just starting to come on as a delicacy, kind of sort of a delicacy sort of drink, you know. Let's try with this little, it's got the little essence of honey and lemon in it. Can you smell, you know? It was just a fascinating time having that. And I enjoyed the Scotsman with his bagpipes on the course. It just makes you feel like you've just been transported to a completely different world. So we had a great time. I was talking to Rex Hoggard earlier in the show because, of course, Rex was sent by Golf Channel over to do not so much find out what happened, but find out how much of what Robert Allenby was saying was true. You know, what did really happen here or didn't happen, the kidnapping and all that. What was your impression about that? Because, you know, I've got to tell you, in The Economist magazine, the holiday double issue, and I'm a big fan of The Economist, on the front page, it says the decline of golf, and I went, what? And then I go to page 40, and there's homelessness in Hawaii, paradise lost, catering to tourists comes at a hefty price for locals. And then, you know, hot on the heels of that, we have homeless people accused of, you know, being violent and towering over Mr. Allenby down on the ground, and the terrible images.
Definitely terrible images. Real quickly, I was over at the Sony on that Saturday, and I was sitting in Ray Stosik's, the tournament director's office, about 10:40 in the morning when Robert called them and said he needed a doctor to come up to his office. And so we were like, whoa, what happened? You know, it sounds like to me that, you know, when you hear it all, obviously Robert has a memory loss and stuff, but it sounds like to me that he passed out on the lawn, nobody beat him up, nobody kidnapped him. That's, you know,
that's
not the Hawaiian way.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, maybe he's laying there drunk and, you know, got you know, some of the bums or whatever, took a few dollars off him or something, but it gave Hawaii a bad image, and I know the Honolulu Police Department was upset about that, and I think eventually the truth will come out, and I don't think he was kidnapped, robbed, and all of that kind of stuff. I think he obviously he has a memory loss of what he says, but I think, you know, it'll come out a lot more tame, and Hawaii will look good in the end.
Yes,
so.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think Mr. Allenby, the one thing in his press conference that he had on Tuesday, because he played, one person said one of the holes that Allenby played looked like he was trying to retrace his steps in Waikiki because he was all over the place. I thought that was the funniest tweet of the week. But he did say in his press conference that he knew that the Honolulu Police Department was doing an excellent job and that the truth would come out eventually and just to let the police do their job. So I was thrilled that he said that. That was
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yes. I agree 100% with him, and you know, we'll figure it out in the long run. So.
Yeah, and I just had Claude Brousseau on Kapalua Golf. We've got a fabulous Vision 54 3-day February 20th, 21st, and 22nd happening at the Kapalua Golf Academy. You have the most beautiful facility. You live in a dream house.
Well, I do. Jeff Babineau and Doug Ferguson tease me all the time. They say I have the best view in all of golf from my office, looking down the first fairway here at the plantation. Get to look at the island of Molokai every day. But, it's Kapalua is just absolutely beautiful. And Claude does an excellent job. He's real aggressive. He's gone out, done extra education, you know, to do this aim point stuff,
yes.
Vision 54.
Yes.
He's become a really, really good coach, and people could learn a lot from him.
And I've gotten a lot of good feedback from a lot of different people that Claude's the best. So I was thrilled to see that and thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much. I got to wrap the show and thank the people who make the show possible.
All right, Daniel, thank you, and have a good week.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for being on the show. It's always good talking to you. The Golf Club is brought to you by Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. Now, the beauty, of course, is that these systems are monitored anywhere. So as you're traveling around the world, you know, on that cruise that you've been longing to take, but you're afraid to leave the home alone, you don't need to worry about that. On your laptop or your smartphone, Alert Alarm of Hawaii will show you all of the cameras, and then you can make a call if you see something that doesn't seem right. Your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company is Alert Alarm of Hawaii. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and the discounts at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. Creative Plumbing. You know, when something's going wrong with your plumbing, you want help and you want it now. Well, whether you're in charge of a very large building or a shopping center, or if it's just your little home and you know it's got to be done right, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. It's Creative Plumbing. Give them a call. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. For 10 years, I got to go to the Grand Slam of Golf every year. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. It's the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. For protection for your home or your business or a special event that you're putting on, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. I enjoyed seeing everybody from Star Protection over there at the gate, making sure we were all properly certified to enter. for your concert, for your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection. What you need, whether you're here in Hawaii, they're also in California. You can always catch the show at radiogolfclub.com. You'll find the archives that go back to like 2007. Before that, it's all on tape. What's that? Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright. Now.